Hey, I ain't preached in 3 weeks. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Anyway, so, you know, it's terrific. And so it's a wonderful experience. You can take a class. You can take two classes. Those of you that have some training and based on personal interviews and things, we might even let you take an advanced course, provided we assure you that you have the foundation for it. You know? And so be aware of those things. Pray about those things. If God speaks to your heart about it, get involved. You will be better for it. You will be a stronger Christian. You'll be a more equipped Christian. You will be stronger for it. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, caring communication. Thank you. Caring communication cards are there. If you will fill those out, I'll talk a few more minutes and give you time to do it before we get to anything really serious. That's not true. Everything I say is serious. Didn't you know that? Anyway, the caring communications cards are there. If you're a first-time attender today, we're so glad you're with us. Please let us have a record of your visit. We appreciate it so very much. And you being with us and worshiping with us and here for the Word of God. And so those of you who are regulars know what this is about. There's a place there for prayer requests, praise reports, becoming involved in the church. Listen, if you want a copy of one of Miss Jenny's CDs or a copy of a CD that we've done, if you'll make a note on the caring communication cards, we'll make that happen for you. Yeah, we need to know a date. We need to know who the preacher was. And if you have any clue what the title was, then that'd be helpful too. But, you know, we need to find a way to do that. We used to have a bookstore. We don't do that anymore. And so it's a little bit, we hadn't quite got that system worked out yet. And so, but we want you to know that the Word of God and the preaching of the Word is available to you. Now, you can always get it by probably Tuesday evening. Kyle, where are you? Look at me. Wave at me. Usually by Tuesday evening, you have it posted, don't you? Is that mostly true? By Wednesday morning, for sure. Okay, so by Wednesday morning, every week, you can get Sunday's message on our website. You can watch it on the computer, you can listen to it on the computer, or you can download it to any handheld mobile device. Now, we used to broadcast live, but we decided we'd do a little better job if we posted it later. So that's what we do. So it's out there. Any of Miss Jenny's messages she's done the last 3 weeks, any messages I've done this year, I believe, are available on the website. And so you can get it there. But if you want a CD, if you feel like you need to have one to send it to somebody, to encourage somebody, we want to make those available to you. We really do. Okay, how many of you know Thanksgiving's coming? I smell the turkey already. Hallelujah. I got at the end of the line last week, and not one angel egg was left when I got there. And Travis said there were like trays of them, but they got scarfed. Y'all know that theological phrase, scarfed. Anyway, so Thanksgiving's coming. It's usually one of those holidays in our culture, in our land, where we set aside a time to give thanks to God. 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 There's a lot of people who don't want to believe that, one, there is a God, and two, that He's worthy of thanks. But that's a lie. There is a God. Today I want to talk to you about protecting the heart of revival. Protecting the heart of revival. If you'll turn with me to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. It's a very famous psalm, very familiar psalm. We're going to put it up on the board in the New Living Translation. I've sort of acquired a liking to this translation. And, we were going to, and then I don't know what I did with it. I can't believe it. My iPad failed me. You know what? Hand me my phone. I know it's in there. Chris may have it up on the wall. Get it up on the wall, Chris. Please. Huh? Magic happens. Don't you like these things? Aren't they convenient? You can have the whole Bible in the palm of your hand. Yeah, you know, 47, 550 translations. You can have it in Greek and Hebrew, Latin, Spanish, French, Portuguese, all kinds of things. Psalm of Thanksgiving. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us. And we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each and every generation. This is one of those psalms that's very familiar. I think we read it a lot. We hear people quote portions of it from time to time. But I want to talk to you today. Mr. Sheesh, by talking about revival. We believe God wants to bring revival into our region, and we believe He wants to do it through us. Now, we might not be the only group that He wants to do it through, but we believe we're an important group that He wants to do it through. And that we are on the point of the spear for where He's taking us and where He's taking His church in our region and in our nation. I hope it doesn't sound boastful to you, but I really believe that about you. I believe that about us. That what God's doing through us and in us and to us is very, very important, not just for you and not just for me, but for our region, for our city, for our region, for this whole area, and perhaps even for the nation, and I know it will impact the world. I believe it's important. And one of the things we need to know is there's things that cultivate revival. There's things that cultivate revival. There's attitudes that cultivate revival. Ms. Chase pointed out some that do not cultivate revival as well as some that do. One of the ones that is a dangerous thing is to be patting yourself on the back saying, I'm okay, while you're doing what you want to do and ignoring the principles of God. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 18 says very clearly in that passage there that we are not to be a people who go around living under the curse, patting ourselves on the back, saying I'm okay, when we're not doing the things that God has asked us to do. Now, in the Old Testament, we're talking about the law. We're talking about sacrificial system. In the New Testament, what are we talking about? How is the law summed up? What does Jesus say the law is summed up in? That you love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, everything that is in you. You love God and you love your brother as yourself. The law of love is the law of God. It is the law that fulfills all the requirements of the legal system of the Old Testament. It transcends everything else. That we love God and we love each other. Jesus tells the disciples, you know how the world will know that I've come? Because you love one another. You know, we ought to be able to love each other. And it ought to show. We ought to love God with all of our heart, be passionate about it. You know, I chased Miss Jenny till she caught me. When I was chasing Miss Jenny, I was passionate about it. I shifted schedules. I changed things. I moved from Alabama to New Jersey. If you've ever been raised, if you're raised in the Deep South, going up there is like a scary proposition. And of course, she had sworn forever she would never marry anybody that sounded like me. Y'all. You know, but we should be pursuing God with some energy, with some effort, with some passion. You know what helps you do that? An attitude of gratitude. Do you know this thankfulness that brings you into the gates of the presence of God? Did you hear that in that psalm? We enter into His gates with thanksgiving. One of the things, it's like, you know, even sometimes in a worship set when Chris is choosing music and think, he has to think about those things. There is a protocol for heaven. There is a protocol for heaven. We get to heaven, you just don't get to dink around and do what you do in the church in America. There's a protocol. Thanksgiving is one of the key elements that causes you to enter into the presence of God. Hence, we have a day coming up this week. We're going to have a day that we eat turkey and we celebrate and everybody goes shoot Bambi and all kinds of things like that. We all get to do these things and we call it, and our nation has even set aside a day. I tell you, if they tried to set it aside today, I don't know if there'd be enough votes to declare a day of Thanksgiving unto God. But thank God there was a day in our history somewhere where somebody had enough votes to declare a day of Thanksgiving unto God. We need to recognize there's a God and He's good. He doesn't send the tornadoes and the hurricanes and the typhoons. He doesn't kill people in the Philippines with wind storms. He didn't cause Katrina in America. He didn't kill all those people in Indiana and Illinois last week with the tornadoes and stuff. God is not that God. God is not the God of the storm who destroys and damages people. God is the God who preserves you in the midst of the storm. Do you not remember the Apostle Paul when he declared in Acts 27, "The angel of the Lord has stood beside me this day, and he has said to me, I have given all to you all those that sail with you." And he said, "And I believe that what he said to me will come to pass." God is the God of the storm. He'll bring you through the storm. He'll bring you through the hard place. He'll bring you through the difficulty. God is not a God of destruction. He is not a destroyer. He is not called destroyer. He is called Abba. He is called our Father. We enter into His presence. The gateway into His presence is Thanksgiving. You know, there's some things that Thanksgiving does for you. Well, you know, it's just some things. I got pages of things here. Look at this in 1 Thessalonians. It's one of my favorite verses. I got a whole bunch of favorite verses. You have favorite verses? You say, "Well, what's your favorite verse in Scripture, Pastor?" I don't have a favorite. I got a bunch of favorites. You know, and most of mine are in Paul. For good or bad, that's just where they are. You know, listen to this. This is interesting. At the end of the first epistle of Thessalonians, He gives this series of commands. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Look at this. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit." I think sometimes when we don't have a thankful heart, we quench the Spirit. I think that sometimes when we aren't thankful, you know, you can bellyache about anything. I'm pretty good at it. I haven't had to learn how to complain. I've had to learn how to not complain. It comes natural to me to bellyache, to whine. And if you can put a religious spin on it, it'll sound like prayer. But that comes natural for me. It's easy for me to lose sight of what God has done and be thankful for what God has done in me, for me, and through me. It's easy to lose sight of that in the moment of the pressure. In the moment of the present circumstance, it's easy to forget to be thankful and just be grumpy, short, snippety. How about you? Thank you, Jake. Shall I tell them all? Jake said he's good at that. And his wife said, "Amen." Because it's our natural bent because of original sin. Even though you're born again, there's still a natural bent in you that resists God. You have to overcome it. You have to put off the old man and put on the new man. That's how Paul says it. You have to put off the flesh and the deeds of the flesh and put on the Spirit and the things of the Spirit. You have to do that. One of the things of the Spirit is to have an attitude of gratitude. It's to be thankful. And this scripture in 1 Thessalonians I read to you says, be thankful in everything. In everything. It doesn't say necessarily to be thankful for everything. I understand prepositions in the Greek, and I know you could say that, but that's not what the intent was. The intent was that it doesn't matter what's happening in your life, you can be thankful. If nothing else, you can be thankful that God's on your side and He's bringing you through. How many of you have ever had God do anything for you anytime ever in your life? Yeah, we all got something to be thankful for. Well, I just don't remember that. Well, we need to. We need to remember those things. In the Epistle of James, you know, Martin Luther scratched James out of his whole Bible. He just blotted it out of the book of life. You know, you say, how did he do that? How come God didn't send lightning on him? Well, he didn't understand the purpose of the book of James. Listen to this. I'm talking about protecting the heart of revival today. Adulterers, this is James chapter 4 and verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses. Anytime the Bible talks about adulterers and adulteresses, in most contexts, it's talking about idolatry. False worship, trying to get to God in a way other than the way He prescribed. You know, God's God, and so He can tell you how to get to Him. You don't get to decide how you want to get to God. What did He say? I said, God's God, and He has the right, and He chose the prerogative of deciding how we would approach Him. We enter His gates with... If you have an ungrateful heart, it's difficult for you to get to the presence of God. You show up to church and the onus is on Chris to somehow get you from being a negative, grippy, hateful person into being, oh, I'm in the presence of the Lord, wonderful. It's hard for you to get. It's like there's no way to get from here to there. We enter His gates with... I think we're getting it, okay? So, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world also makes himself an enemy of God. Listen to this verse. Listen to this verse. Friendship with the world. This means the world's way. The world's thought processes. The world's mentality. Do you know who the God of this world is? Not Jesus Christ. God of this world's the devil. Now he's a God with a little g. Now, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, now that's different. And he can be the Lord of your life, but you're going to live in a world until it's redeemed is messed up. And is anti-Christ. The Apostle John said that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world and wrote that in 90 AD. The spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. That those things that resist God. Those attitudes that resist God. Those attitudes that resist Jesus. Those attitudes that resist preaching the Word of God. That spirit is in the world now. And when you adopt those attitudes, you have come into agreement with and made a place for the spirit of Antichrist that is already here in the world. Look at this. It says, whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You know, it's hard to be an enemy of God and be thankful to God. Well, I'm not an enemy of God, Pastor, but I like God. Well, are you a friend of the world? If you're a friend of the world and worldliness, then you have made yourself to become an enemy of God. Well, hallelujah. You better shout, Helen. I'm going to need a shout. Verse 5, or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You know, see, the thing is, when I say something like, if you're a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God, you can leave here depressed if you want to. But you don't have to. The idea of saying that is for the Holy Spirit to enlighten you and cause you to quicken something in you and recognize that and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Boom, it's over. When it's sincere and genuine from your heart, it's, I'm sorry, boom, it's fixed. Now, how do I become a friend of God? Well, you enter into His presence through the gate of... I'm not going to quit until everybody says that. We enter into the presence of God through the gate of... Thank you, I'm still not going to quit, but anyway. Thanksgiving is important. Thanksgiving is important. And because it's so important, once a year, it's the tradition of this church, that next Sunday morning, after the day of Thanksgiving, we're going to devote some time for you to get up here in front of the whole crowd, if you want to and if you so choose, and tell somebody what you're thankful for that God has done for you in recent history. Now, you may be thankful He did something for you 30 years ago, and I'm happy you're thankful for that. I'm very thankful for that He gave me my wife. And that was coming up on 39 years ago. And I'm thankful for that. But you know, God's done some things in my life this year. God's done some things in my life this year that I'm thankful for. God has sent some of you to this church this year, and I'm thankful for that. I'm grateful that the Lord has put you under my shepherdship. I believe you will be better for it. And there are people in this room that can tell you when God sent them here, they were messed up and now they're not. And there are people here that came in real good shape and can tell you they're strengthened and better. I'm glad you've come. I'm glad God's sending more. I'm glad that we're going to have a spirit of revival in this church, that the Holy Spirit's going to be moving among us in power and demonstration and signs and wonders, and it's right. We're on the cusp of it. We've already entered into it. I am thankful for that. And next Sunday we're going to give you an opportunity, if we're spontaneous and do it quickly, you'll have an opportunity to get up here and in a couple of minutes say what you're thankful for so that the whole body can join with you in giving thanks to God for what He's done in your life. Nothing wrong with traditions as long as God's in them. Thanksgiving keeps our hearts tender. You cannot become arrogant when you're thankful. You cannot harden your heart and be thankful. You cannot harden your heart. You know, we have to watch out. We don't want to harden our heart. Like the book of Hebrews says, don't be like the Israelites who hardened their heart as in the day of provocation. God would do these amazing things and they never learned to trust Him. And then they murmured, complained, they wanted to quit, they wanted to take their ball and go somewhere else. And they got into deception because they believed it was better to be in bondage in Egypt than it was to be having to trust God. Do you know walking by faith is not easy? Do you know sometimes it's just easier to be carnal? There's no resistance. There's no resistance to having angry, wall-eyed fits. It's the world. It's the spirit of the world. There's no resistance to going around being depressed and feeling sorry for yourself. It's just easy to slide down that slippery slope. You have to resist that. Now, the good news in all that is you have the Holy Spirit and He's come to help you. And you know, the Holy Spirit's not some it. He's God Himself. God Himself has decided to live inside your temple, in your body, and occupy your consciousness, and He's there principally to help you. Now that help looks like a lot of different, comes in a lot of different shapes and forms and things, but He's there to help you. So a lot of times the Holy Spirit will provoke you to be thankful when you don't feel very thankful. When you want to feel sorry, decide to be thankful. How do I do that, Pastor? Think of some good things God's done and remember that and be thankful. And being thankful doesn't mean just feel a good feeling. It means say so. God, I thank you for what you have done in my life, and this is it. And detail it as best you can. I had one of those moments this week sitting in the waiting room at the hospital while Harmony was, they were tinkering with her brain and surgery and stuff. And I was sitting there, and there sat both my sons in the anointing of the Lord, in the presence of God, doing what God has called them to do. I had a moment. You ever have moments, moms and dads, when your kids are doing good? You ever have moments when your kids are doing good and it feels real special in your heart? I know we have heartbreak moments. I know we have moments when we don't feel good. But do you have those moments? I'm thankful for that moment. I'm thankful for David. I'm thankful for James. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for all my grandkids. The reason grandkids are called grandkids is because they are grand. And if you don't have any, you have no idea what I'm talking about, even though you think you do. I'm thankful. So, well, what if my team loses? Well, you know, mourn for a few minutes and then quit. You know, if you get depressed over the loss of a football game you didn't even play in, we need to talk. If you're mad at your brother in the body of Christ because he wears orange and you wear maroon, we need to talk. I need to preach to you just a little bit. I might need to preach to you a lot. Of course, now I know Steve tonight's going to be watching Peyton as he goes to New England, for all you football fans. One of the most awful struggles Miss Jean and I went through was when Pittsburgh beat Dallas 4 years in a row in the Super Bowl. People in the sound booth should be seen and not heard. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? When we choose to think worldly, we make ourselves an enemy of God. We do not protect revival when we choose worldliness, to embrace worldly thinking, worldly ways, worldly attitudes. We do not protect the spirit of revival that we're wanting to cultivate in this body of believers. Not just when we're here on Sunday. We're certainly here when we're here on Sunday, but not only when we're here on Sunday. We enter His gates with, you want to be in the presence of God? Have a thankful heart. Find a way to sit down and look at your wife and her beady little eyes and say, thank you, honey, for cooking this turkey. And if it happens to be the man who smoked that turkey, you tell him, honey, thank you for doing the work of the turkey. Sometimes, ladies, you need to sit down and thank your husband for working. Men, sometimes you need to sit down and thank your wife when she's carrying a job, raising six kids, and all you do is work. We need to have a thankful heart. Do you feel yelled at? I'm yelling at you. We need to have a thankful heart. We need to decide to be thankful. Because when you have a thankful heart, it's the gateway into the presence of God. You protect revival by being thankful. You protect the spirit of revival, the heart of revival. Don't forget to be thankful. I know Thursday morning, your wife says, oh, you know, honey, I forgot the cranberry sauce. Would you run to the store? Particularly if you're a particular football fan, you know. Be thankful. Get up. Have a good attitude. Say, honey, I'll be glad, baby. You want it gelled or you want it the smushy stuff? What kind do you want? How many cans? And then write it down so you don't have to call her when you get to the store to remember. Get your phone and pull up that little yellow pad on there and type it in there. Thanksgiving keeps our hearts tender. We don't want to harden our heart. You know how your heart gets hardened? It's when you resist or deny the dealings or the wooings of the Holy Spirit, and you say no to that, and you say no to that, and you say no to that, and it hardens your heart. You know how you tender your heart? You recognize God, and you say, thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. We don't want to have a hard heart. We want to have a tender heart. Tender hearts look like something. It doesn't look weak. For all you men, doesn't look weak. Doesn't look weak. But meekness is strength under discipline. Moses was the meekest man on the earth, the Bible says. And would anybody want to fuss with me about whether he was strong or not? Moses was a strong man. To lead a crowd of Jews like that, wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years until they finally all died off, and he had to die off too. How would you like to do something knowing you were going to die? You had already got mad at the rock, and instead of speaking to it, you hit it with a stick, and now God says you can't go in. But you still got to lead this bunch of people, and you got to be their spiritual head, and you got to give them direction. You got to hear from me, but you're not going in because you couldn't control your anger. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for forgiveness. That doesn't mean behavior doesn't have consequences. That's why being unthankful has consequences. We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful. We need to choose to be thankful. It's Thanksgiving weekend. I want to remind us, we need to be thankful. Being thankful reminds us of the goodness of God. God's faithfulness. Thanksgiving goes with prayer and intercession. Now, here's a couple of scriptures. All you people that want your prayers answered. Hi-ya-ya, are you ready? All right, buckle your seatbelt. Put your tray tables in the upright locked position. Oh, boy, Chris, let's go to Philippians chapter 6. No, there's no 6 in Philippians. Hang on. Here we go. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Listen to this. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. It's up there too. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Do what? Let your requests be made known to God. It would suggest that thankfulness has something to do with putting your requests before the throne of God. We enter His gates with we enter His presence with thanksgiving. We enter His presence with thanksgiving. If you want to present an intercession or a request to God, you got to get to His presence. If you want to get to His presence, the gate that opens to get you to His presence is
thanksgiving.
We're getting there. Hallelujah. Okay, well, that's interesting. Well, just back up one little book or two to Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I guess we go forward one book. To chapter 4 in Colossians. Another Pauline comment. Chapter 4 and verse 2, I believe it is. Says this, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it, prayer, with... Is it up there too? Next year, we're going to have a thing back here on this wall so I can see what's behind me. In the name of Jesus, okay? Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it, in the prayer, with thanksgiving. While you're doing that, Paul goes on to say in verse 3, meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open doors for us. You're going to be an intercessor, you're going to be thankful. If you're going to present your prayers to God, you need to present them in the context of thanksgiving. You know what happens? A lot of times we get under pressure. We get under pressure, and instead of being thankful, we want help. It's natural, guys. I'm not putting this down. I mean, we feel the pressure. We get a bad report. We get something going on. We don't know what to do. And we say, oh, God, help. Oh, God, help. But the Bible protocol is with thanksgiving we enter into His presence. You know what will happen? If you'll remember to be thankful, you'll remember that God is good and He's on your side. That God's not a scoundrel. He didn't deceive you and trick you and put you into this bad situation so he could deliver you. What kind of crazy thinking is that? God got me. God did this to me so he could heal me. God made me sick so I could get, he could make me well. No, no, no. Let me just point out that Jesus said, if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, who do you cast them out by? But if I do it by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come among you. So what's that got to do with anything? God is not putting bad things on you so he can bring good things to you. That's some kind of weird manipulation that comes right out of the pit of hell. That kind of thinking is distorted thinking. It's not sound doctrine. God is a good God. There is a bad devil and a good God. And we are thankful to God because he's with us in the battle. He's with us in the battle. He's for us. He's for us to have victory. He's for us to win. God is for you. Who can be against you? God is for you. Who can be against you? Neither death nor life, things present or things to come, things in the past, things present, things to come. God is for us. He didn't let some crummy thing happen to you so he could come and be nice and deliver you. Change your mind about the God you serve. He is a good God. He is worthy of our thanks. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. When Thursday gets here, don't you gobble down the gobbler before you say thank you to somebody. And before you have time to say thanks to God and not rub it up, dub, thanks for the grub, yay, God, let's eat. Take some serious time and reflect with your family and with your friends. What has God done in our lives this year? What has God done in our lives this year? What has God done in our lives this year? How has God been with us this year? And decide to give thanks. Those are the leaders in this church. We met for a couple Saturdays ago all day long, making plans and hearing vision and talking about things for next year. It's an exciting year on the horizon for what God's doing among us. But I felt the Lord's clearly said to me, we are going to start this thing off worshiping. And they'll tell you to the person, we started, David played a CD, we started worshiping, and the presence of the Lord filled the house. It would have been tempting to just stay there. And then we took time in the middle of the day just to list the things that God has done in the church that we're aware of. We got like four pages. And then we took time, 10, 15 minutes. You know, if you do it by the clock, you'll find out you get uncomfortable saying thank you for 10 minutes. Because your flesh don't like it. Did you hear me? How do you say thank you that much in 10 minutes, Pastor? I run out of words. It's not about the saying thank you over and over. It's remembering what goodness God is and what great things God has done and remembering to say thank you. Thank you. You guys had an amazing time at camp this summer. Did you not? You made amazing friends. God has opened incredible doors for Noah and for you. You now are leading worship in the youth. You weren't doing that last year. God has done some amazing things for you just in the last 6 months. Is that right? So see, I would say, remember that and say thank you. I'm not just picking on them. They're on the front row. It's dangerous to sit on the front row. David's got an amazing story. He and Sherry, how God put it in their heart to begin to believe God for something very specifically, an inheritance without anybody dying. And can you believe it? It happened. It's something to be thankful for. Sometimes we've had sick children, haven't we? But they got well. What about that doctor? Well, we'd all prefer to have a miracle, but sometimes God uses medicine. Are you thankful? It worked. So, folks, let's get it. We enter his gates with, we come into his presence with, And if we're going to present our petitions and our requests, we're going to need to be in His presence, right? So along with our petitions and requests, we do that with... And everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. I'm trying not to use that verse, but I just can't stand it. It is always the will of God to be thankful. I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, what's God want me to do? Be thankful. If you'll start with what you already know to be the will of God, it'll get you down the road to the part you don't know. If you wait to get revelation on what you don't know while you're ignoring doing what you do know, you'll never get to what you don't know. You'll probably create something out of your imagination. You call God and it's not God. Did y'all get that? I know I'm standing over here. Did y'all get it on this side? If you don't do what the Bible clearly says is the will of God, because you don't know what this other part of the will of God is for your life, and if you won't do what you know to be the will of God because you don't know what this other part is, you will never know what this other part is. And what you will do is you will make up something in your imagination and call it the will of God when you are, because you cannot get to the specific will of God until you have engaged the general will of God. There's not a bridge from here to there. Now that's worth the price of admission today, what I just said. It will help you. I don't know what to do, Lord. I don't know what to do. Well, there's some things we know. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't know how to pray in tongues. Get baptized in the Holy Ghost. I don't know what to do, Pastor Lord. Be thankful. I ain't got anything to be thankful about. That's probably a problem right there. Are you saved? Have you been forgiven? Yeah. Well, I think missing hell's probably a good place to start. Do you hear me? You cannot get to the specific will of God without engaging the general known will of God first. In the kingdom of God, first things are first. Now, I'm not fussing at you. I'm telling you it's Thanksgiving. Giving thanks is a good thing. Giving thanks is a good thing. David in the Psalms. How many of you think David knew how to get into the presence of God? King David, you know the psalmist, the guy that wrote the book? You know the psalmist sang songs, worshiped God. I know he's a sinner. I know he did with Bathsheba, and I know he's goofy. He had problems in his life. It just really encourages me. I'm so glad the Corinthian church was around because they were so goofed up that Paul was forced to write the New Testament so we'd know what to do when we're goofed up. Enter His presence with. Do we want to be in the presence of God in this church? Yes. Why don't we come here with a thankful heart next week? Why don't we come here with thankfulness in our mouth? Why don't you find Becky or Travis or somebody that washed dishes or somebody that cleaned up trash last week or somebody that served and sliced pie and did something, somebody who did something downstairs. Why don't you find those children's workers back there today who are serving your babies and serving your children in children's ministry? Why don't you find some of those people and say, thank you. Okay. Maybe you need to find Sister Helen, who's prayed you through more than you ever know about. Say, Sister Helen, thank you. Why don't you find Sister Patty, who's prayed for you? Sister Louise, who runs the prayer chain. Some of you need to find Laura. Say, thank you, Laura. I appreciate what you... Some of you need to find Vicki, who served this church for 20 years as a secretary. And say, Vicki, whew, you saved my cookies more. Thank you. Not just thankfulness to God, but gratitude for those who've been a blessing in your life. It's a good thing. Amen. Let's stand up.